Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for a long time now, he's been stopping by once a month on the first Wednesday, and we talk about cooking. And we always have a lot of fun exchanging stories and recipes. The way we do this is that he picks some subject to be the centerpiece. Sometimes it's an approach to cooking or a style. Sometimes it's a particular dish, as what we're going to do this morning. And then we just say, well, you want to call in and talk about that thing? Maybe you could share a recipe with us or maybe some kind of a story. Any and all of that is great. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about chili, something that we, in fact, have done before on the program. And it's always been a lot of fun and very popular because, as I said before the news, it's one of those things where everybody has their own a way that they like it. And they think that's the best way to do it. And you can vary it greatly depending on what you want it to be. So there's a lot of room for maneuvering to either put things, you know, put in things, certain things, or not put in certain things, you know, whatever you want to do. So if you would feel like sharing a recipe with us, that'd be great. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. One other thing before we get going here I want to mention, because I think this will be our only chance to do it here while Doyle is here before we actually do this. We're going to do a cooking program, believe it or not, on WILL-TV on the 3rd of December. It's going to be a live show, and it's all organized around the crock pot. And we're calling this show C is for crock pot. And it's kind of like some shows that we have actually done. We've done a few of these before on television, although it's been a while since we've done it. And the idea is that we're going to put together a little cookbook of crockpot recipes. So maybe you might have a recipe you would like to submit, and that would be great. And then what we're going to do is try to pick out a few of those recipes and say to the folks who have contributed them, how'd you like to come down to the studio and show us how you make it? And Doyle and I are going to be on the show, and we're going to sort of take turns being kibitzers and to talk with the folks as they show us their recipe and do a little demonstration. And we think it should be a lot of fun. Now, we've been talking about that for a while, but I think actually I haven't mentioned it here on the program. So if you would like to submit a recipe, we had originally set a deadline of the 9th, which is only a couple of days away. And I kind of think last time I was talking about this with Heather Miller, she was saying maybe we might extend that deadline just a little bit. So send us your recipe as soon as you can and send it to C is for Crockpot, WILL-TV, 300 North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana, and the zip code is 61801, and I'll give you the address again a little bit later on. But what we'll do is we'll put together the book. You don't have to be on the show to have your recipe in the book. We'd like to get a number of good recipes for that, and then we'll be offering that to people who would like to have the cookbook. But we'll pick out, I don't know, maybe four or five folks and say, well, come on down to the studio, and we'll do it on TV, just like on the Big Food Network. So with that, glad to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
So was there something in particular got you thinking about chili, other than it's just chilly weather?
Well, actually, it was the fact that it was chilly weather. That, what goes around comes around. I, in fact, have a pot of chili in my slow cooker right now.
Even as we speak?
As we speak, there is a pot of vegetarian chili that I made up in the slow cooker. But this came about because I was interested in writing some poetry. I took a little workshop in writing haiku poetry, and one morning I just simply couldn't sleep, and this poem came to me, and it made me laugh because the poem is a good haiku poem, and I thought, there's the answer for this Wednesday. The poem I wrote was, "No ants in the kitchen. The furnace just turned on. I'll get the fixings for chili." And it was just exactly like that. That was it. So I decided, well, how can we lose? Because you get 10 people in the room and you got 15 recipes for chili.
Yeah.
And I had been hunting for, those of you that have been listening to me for 30 years know that I kept hunting for how to make my mother's chili better than I was making it. And it was one of the listeners who called in and corrected me on what I was doing. So maybe there's all kinds of information out there and opinions of what chili must be and must not be. And then I have just recently, since I've sort of altered my diet to eliminate meat, I'm working I don't want to just call it vegetarian chili. In fact, it amuses me because in making it, it turns out to be very much closer to an Indian curry dish. And now I know why. Several years ago, when I was in England, make us some chili, make us some chili. Okay, I'll do that. So I made a pot of chili, and this the host that I was at their house hung right onto and you do the, and then this and then that and this and that, and I said I, and then when I dumped in the beans, she said, "Oh, a vegetable curry." And I thought, you can't call chili a vegetable curry. But the truth of the matter is, it does come very close to that technique of curry cooking, which is very highly spiced and then things cooked for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy these variations. I used to be a lot more rigid. And trouble is, I keep liking other people's chili. I can't really refuse another chili. Mm. I just remember that's not the way it was done at home. But I certainly tolerate it, and I love it.
Well, it seems to me that particularly in recent years, I've seen more recipes that go in different directions.
Yes.
You know, you can use a variety of kinds of beans. You can use a variety of kinds of meats. You can make it as hot as you want or not hot. There are now things that they call white chilies.
Yes.
That have
white beans and chicken
and don't have tomato.
And no tomato.
And no tomato. So that's a different – I suppose some people would say, well, that's not chili. Well, I don't know. I guess it doesn't really – if you like it, who cares? Some people like to put corn.
Yes.
Some people put bell peppers.
Some particular time, whenever it was, I brought in a recipe that I had invented, which I like to call American chili, because everything that was in it was American. Turkey, hominy, chili peppers, tomatoes, and the spices. I didn't really use Mexican oregano, but anyway, that's where it comes from. That's where that, and everything that was in it was something grown in the New World, and that was my quote American chili.
Yeah. So it's got great flexibility.
You
can pretty much do whatever you want, and we have in fact some folks to talk with. So why don't we do that? Start in with someone in Champaign. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. Just talking about chili in crockpot. We thought about doing this last week, but here was our issue. We were looking up some recipes for chili.
Yes.
And there's such a variation between using, and we're going to try the typical one, right? And there really isn't one. There was like some with ground beef and some that you actually had chunks of meat, like meat stew, basically.
Oh, yes.
And then there was some without beans and some with beans. And then some had cayenne pepper, some had red pepper, some, you know, the peppers that you'd use were so different. So I'd like to get just a recipe, a very basic recipe, if you've got one. I don't know, your vegetarian chili sounds kind of complicated.
But if
you could share that, I'd love to hear about it, and maybe we'd try that this weekend.
Okay. Yes, you touched on the one thing that has caused all of these variations to happen, is people sort of go in different directions, and some slow down on a certain spices. Chili doesn't have to be really killer hot. And I think there was a period of time when a lot of people thought that, yes, that's what it has to be. I make a hotter chili than they do. And it doesn't have to be. It's the flavor. And And then there are a lot of people who, oh, I wouldn't even think of using chili powder. Well, that's what Mama used.
Was, well, that's what I would think was would chili, make chili.
Well, was, no, but chili powder. See,
yeah.
chili powder is ground chilies, cumin, oregano, and garlic. All of that goes into
altogether.
into the making of a commercial chili powder.
Oh, you mean like the prepackaged one, or just the powder you can just buy off the shelf?
Well, if you go to the store, and you look in the place where they have all the dried spices, if something it says chili powder, it's going to be a mixture of things.
And we never knew that. It's just that I know that's what Mother used. I keep referring to that. She learned it in 1919 on the Texas border. And in those days, you didn't have the wide variety of stuff that we have available now. So Mexican chili powder was all she ever used. And it took me a long time to find out that chili powder is not what some people use. Some people use ground chilies, and they may even grind them themselves, which is a totally different way of cooking all of this. So, but it would be safe to use chili powder because it has cumin and oregano and garlic in it, which I don't think that – I'm very sure that no one ever read the recipe on the chili powder until I did many, many, many years later and found it was totally different from what I thought it was. So then people who are writing the recipes and writing the books don't often delineate the difference between chili powder and ground chilies. And however, chili aficionados – love to talk about their chili, the ground chili that they're using. And I myself have a very, very favorite and some that I don't like.
Mm. So if we wanted to do just a basic recipe of chili.
Yes.
We would, I've always been used to the, not the ground beef chili.
Yes.
But the, you know, the
chunks of
chili.
Beef.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Right. And then no beans.
Right,
and then just like it's almost it's not even a stew so much as it's just like a little bit of a sauce.
Yes. Well, that comes very close to that Texas border chili, the way it is made, because it only has chili powder and meat.
Okay.
And that's it. Only chili powder and meat. And this was the helper that told me, she said, well, you put too much water in it. I said, no, it was always very thin and watery. Yes, but that's later. What you want to make is a brick chili, which is let all of the you want to have some fat in the meat.
Right.
And so that cooks down. So what it really starts doing is working like a confit?
Oh yeah, the thing that's preserved in the
preserved
fat.
In its own fat. Yeah. So what you're really doing is that you're cooking the meat in its own fat and very little water and very slow, very long time, and only chili powder, no vegetables, no nothing else. That sounds like my dad, who would say, "That's just chili soup if you put all that other stuff in." And I want chili, which was meat and chili powder.
Right. Okay.
And then you cook that down. You cook it down for a long time, very slow on the back of the. I never could figure out why we never had chili on the day that the mother cooked chili. It's because she then put it into a loaf pan, put it into the ice box, and waited until it was time to cook it. And you came out and you sliced off slices and chunks of it, and then added water, a considerable amount of water. And brought it up to a boil, and then she did have beans, and they were always in a pan in the icebox next to the chili, but never put in until the very last minute when you put some beans in, and then you put this other thing that you got made, and it is so good. But
wow.
it is very straight, very simple, very plain, and I think would give you a taste that you would enjoy and be surprised at, because it's not thick, it doesn't have flour or masa harina in it, it doesn't have tomatoes, doesn't have peppers, doesn't have carrots, things like, you know, the other people add that, okay, add a bulk to it. So it's just plain straight cooking. And yes, the New Mexican way and the Wyoming / New Mexico way that chili is made is to make, but it takes so long to cut up those chunks of meat. And Mother had her chili ground coarse. And didn't chop it up, but the meat is in fairly good, you know, not ground up hamburger, it's not ground
right
up, but it was a coarse grind.
Okay,
and you can get that made. You can go ahead and have that coarse grind. So it brown it. Don't brown it too much.
Okay,
and put in a lot of chili. And I said to her one day, I did say, well, how much do you use? She said, well, a jar.
Oh my God.
So that's about three or four tablespoons of chili powder.
Wow. Okay.
But it was never too much.
Now, the other question I had, or I don't know if it's so much a question, but I used to live in Cincinnati.
Yes. Oh, yes. Cincinnati chili is
different.
Oh, it's totally different. In fact, Cincinnati chili was invented by a Greek,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, it is chili, but it is a unique mixture to that part of the country.
Now, do you have a recipe for that? Because I've always just bought like the canned version that the different chili companies sell, but I've never actually tried to make it myself.
I'm trying. I've got some chili books here. I'll have to hunt them up.
Okay. They're, well, I'll hang up, and then if you find that
at some point, I'll talk about it because it is the way you put it together that makes it the difference. It's on top of spaghetti
and with cheese.
With cheese, yes.
Yeah, or like my husband likes it with onion.
Oh yes, and then onions on top.
Yeah.
I'll look for that because
okay, great.
I think I have that recipe.
Okay,
nearby.
Well, wonderful. Well, sure. I'll try just the browning of the meat.
The browning of the meat and long, slow cooking.
Can you put it in a crock pot?
Oh
then?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And
yes.
Just let that stick.
And I would put it on low, and I would cook it for at least 6 to 8 hours.
Okay.
And as the caller told me, she said, 2 tablespoons of water. I said, you've got to be kidding. Nope, 2 tablespoons of water.
Okay.
So that's all you need.
All right, great.
Thanks
well,
a
thanks
lot.
So much.
All right, thanks for the call. We're talking this morning here on Focus 580 with man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He stops by the first Wednesday, has for a long time, to talk about cooking, and we usually pick one theme for the program and talk about that. And he said this time around, well, let's talk about chili. And the great thing about it, as we have discussed, is that you can vary it kind of however you want. You can either have beans or not beans, or red beans or black beans or other kinds of beans. You could have different kinds of meat, or you could have no meat. You could kind of do whatever you want with it. You can make it blistering hot, or you could make it mild.
Yeah.
It's completely one of those things that's completely up to you. 333-9455 is our number here in Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455. You want to give us a call. And we have somebody else here to talk with, and that is someone in Urbana, line 2. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for mentioning 1919. That leads directly to my question.
Yes?
I was wondering if either of you, in the lore of chili, had any idea why Dick Tracy, the very earliest Dick Tracy cartoons, would go into his diner and have a big bowl of chili. And occasionally, in the midst of an investigation, he would always get this appetite for a bowl of chili to help him think through the problem.
Well, I'm going to try to put some guesses together. I don't recall Dick Tracy being such a chili head as that. But what I'm talking about is that the thing that we started calling chili before everything sort of got wider did start, as I say, in 1919, a little bit earlier, on the Texas border. It is not a Texas it's not a Mexican taste at all. It's this border taste, and it became popular after that because the people would make pots of chili and sell them from tents on the street. And they were called Chili Queens because they were the ones that were running this a instant chili parlor. And then of course chili parlors did come later, and we had I'm not sure if the Depression had anything to do with the making of, because it's very, very simple food, but chili parlors grew up as an entity in themselves, and that's probably why Dick Tracy was doing it in the early 30s.
I'm remembering cartoons from the 20s, and that may be why the fad.
Yes.
To try to seem like he was really with it.
Was with it, yes.
Whoever was writing it, Dick Tracy did whatever then was the latest.
Well, that was exactly what it was, because chili parlors started in that particular period of time, and that would be my main guess. Also, it is a one-dish meal. You don't go in and get a lot of extra stuff with it, and it was simple and plain. It was hot, and he would be hungry and busy.
Thanks so much.
Yes.
Right, well, thanks for the call. Just something I thought I'd pass on here, just as has kind of come in from, I'm not sure if this is from off-air call from a listener, and it's probably a good thing to think about and consider, that apparently there is, in red kidney beans, there's actually some kind of toxin, which means that you have to make sure that you really cook them. And if you eat canned beans, that's not going to be a problem. But apparently, at least according to the information that I get here, it's that slow cookers don't cook them enough.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to start with
raw beans
in a slow cooker.
I think you're right. And that is a problem. The slow cooker does have some drawbacks, and that is that it doesn't heat up too fast. Yeah. Well, of course, if you do it low. And I believe you're right.
And apparently whatever it is, the toxic agent, the thing is, it's a problem, it's in a lot of beans, but is apparently highest in red kidney beans. And that just means that you have to make sure that if you eat them, they're really cooked.
I believe also when you're cooking beans, you want to change the water a couple of times. Soaking some of them, I think that's why the new technique of just putting beans in the water and raising them to a boil and then letting them boil for a minute and then turning them off and leave them for an hour has become sort of the major way of cooking beans, rather than that unless you're heating them up. What is that Mexican bowl that big black bowl that you cook on the top of the stove? That seems to work better than any. I can't name it right now, but that's a very popular thing, and that doesn't seem to get into the way. But yes, there is something with things sitting in their water and stewing, or just sitting there and not being hot enough to do what you want.
Yeah. So if you want it, probably the thing, what I have done here is, if you're interested more about this and you do have internet access, just put red kidney bean poisoning into your browser and you will come up with a number of sites. And I think that's some, or also the FDA apparently has. That is some, what it says here, basically a couple of things that I've said, says that if you're going to cook them, the suggested procedure is indeed that you soak them well. You get rid of that water that you've soaked them in, and that you have to boil them for at least 10 minutes. And again, yes, a number of these say that it is this thing that's the problem is in some other beans, but it's more of it in the red kidney beans than any other. So you just want to make sure that they're cooked. In fact, apparently in one of these sites, it says that partially cooked beans are more of a problem than if you ate them raw.
Exactly.
But you don't want to do that. So make sure your beans are well cooked. That's the bottom line here.
Mother always used pinto beans anyway.
Well, and I
never
I
did
use,
like kidneys.
I pretty much use mine out of a can anyway. I think that's a canned
sure.
beans, or it's a great thing. So
it
not,
is.
Not mess around. All right. Well, let's talk with somebody in Geneva here, line number four. Hello.
Hey, good morning. I love this show. It's making me want to go out and have a pot of chili right now.
Exactly.
I'm actually, my wife and I experiment quite a bit on chili. I have a slow cooker. Well, I want to say, well, it's a slow cooker. It's actually called the Rival Crock Pot.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And you guys were talking about, and I never heard of this just now, about the beans. But, you know, I have this thing, and I have it on. It goes for 8, 10 hours. And I have it, I don't want to say slow cook, and it's probably on high. So, and I've always thrown beans in there, never had any problems. The canned beans, like...
Canned beans should be fine.
I'd never heard about this before either. The problem seems to be is if you're starting with raw, dried beans.
Oh, okay.
That seems to be the issue. And I'm sure if you get them out of a can, they're cooked. You could eat them. You could just open up the can and you could eat them. That's right out of the can. That's not a problem.
Well, what I've done is actually I've done a couple of things. One is one of my cookbooks. Yeah, it was on Chili's. It's one of those Bon Appetit cookbooks, and there's one in there for Chili's, and I've added a couple. There was one that was called a Texas Chili.
Yes.
It has the corn and the beef and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
What I've done is I've added mangoes to it, and sometimes I put some oranges in there to kind of, flavor it up a little bit. And then at the same time, I make my own beer. I have a Mr. Beer kit, and I try to match or go to the store to match the beer to the, the chili, kind of like what you would do it for wine.
Sure.
And it's not just this. Whenever I have a chili party to get together, I tell people to bring certain kinds of beers, like a wheat beer or a lemon beer or a Blue Moon or something to match. And I'm trying to match, and in some cases, depending on the type of chili we make, I'll even add ales to it.
Oh, yes.
Well, sounds great.
It's great, especially when you watch the Illini game. even though I'm far north, I'm pulling for them.
Yep.
So, I'm an Illini fan. In fact, one of my neighbor's kids is going down there as we speak. So, but anyway, I enjoy doing the chili, and I always try to add something to it. Now, this year, I'm going to start doing things from scratch.
Yeah.
With the exception of I'm not going to use raw. I'm going to use the canned stuff.
Use canned beans,
I'm trying to create my own version of Hawaiian chili. So we'll see what kind of that thing comes up. But I love this show. I had to add my 10 cents.
Okay.
That's good. Thanks.
Well, there, folks, if you're interested in calling in, particularly if you have a recipe you'd like to share, you can give us a call. We're talking about chili here. We do this cooking program once a month, always on the first Wednesday, 10 o'clock, with Doyle Moore, the man we like to call, our chef in residence. We've been doing this for a long time, picking some particular theme for that show and then saying, well, let's talk about that. Tell us a story. Give us a recipe. And this time around, he was thinking about chili. And you can call us 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. It does seem to be that thing that people who know me know I am not a fan of hot, humid weather. And about the 1st of August, I'm sick to death of summer, and I start thinking about fall. And this is the thing,
It is.
When it gets cool, when it gets to the right time, this is the first thing that I want to make. I want to make chili.
It isn't something on the coldest day. You don't want all that ice and snow. That's not chili. Mm. It is, and it's more than a comfort food. But and I think that it's very interesting because chili isn't necessarily, as I said, I had to teach the Brits how to make chili. They had never made it. And, of course, I went to get the meat, and I said, there's no suet in this meat. I need someone. Oh, well, no one ever buys ground meat with fat in it. I said, that's what I want. And he was very appalled. So the poor butcher was even shaken up a little bit when I tried to order the meat to make my chili in England. But
well,
I did it.
Going back to the very first caller who had this question about, there are all these different directions you can go and different variations. Would you say that there was something that was essential to the chili that's got to be there,
chili,
other than ground
chili pepper
chilies?
Okay. Ground chilies,
ground
yeah.
Chili, and, as your bait, as your
that
base.
That yeah, and if you do that, then you don't have to think about adding cumin and oregano and garlic. But it has to be those two things together. And there is you can still buy Mexican chili powder. I've found it in this town, and I have one. It's symbolic. It's put away. Of course, I like to have the ground chili from Chimayo in New Mexico. And I like that very, very much. And so I'm always touting that. Other people like chili from Hatch. Mm-hmm. But I always say, oh, no, it's down on the plains and it's too hot. But
and that's just what you're talking about, is just chilies that have been grown and dried
and
ground into a powder.
Yeah, that's it. Ground into a powder and not mixed with other things.
Right.
Yeah, and now, then that makes me then have to put in the other taste, because it does. Cumin is very, very significant,
yes.
More than I thought
yes.
in
yes.
chili.
It's I think it's, to me, that's like a signature element to the, that's what makes it chili. And if there wouldn't be any cumin, it would be something else,
exactly.
I think. And it's into, have you ever taken whole cumin seeds, roasted them and then ground them and used that?
Not necessarily grind them, but just beat them up
in a mortar
and pestle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or as I was reading a cookbook, take the bottom of a wine bottle and crush up mm-hmm. the seeds. But they want to be roasted first in a dry skillet and then just broken up. They don't have to be ground up into a powder. Yeah, that is exactly one way.
Yeah.
I have located a Cincinnati chili recipe, and what makes it unique is it uses cinnamon and Worcestershire sauce and tomato paste and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So all those additives. So I'll read this off. It's very, very simple. 2 pounds of ground beef. 4 medium onions chopped, 1 clove of garlic minced, 2 teaspoons of vinegar, 1 can of tomato paste, not ground tomato paste, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 tablespoons of chili powder, so that's that's mama's amount again, and 3 teaspoons of cinnamon and 1 teaspoon of Tabasco sauce, and a few dashes of Worcestershire sauce, and then water, salt, and pepper. But then you make a spice bag of some dried peppers, the little red pepinos or whatever, dried peppers, and allspice and bay leaves. It says here 35 allspice, which would be whole.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of allspice, but then that's and then some people put cloves in, but allspice and cinnamon is going to change the very nature of this chili, and then it's just simply all put together and cooked for an hour and put together with hot spaghetti topped by chili and then cheese, onions, and oyster crackers. So that's the Cincinnati chili. And what makes it different then is the use of allspice and cinnamon and tomato paste and not tomatoes.
Huh.
So that's why it isn't too thick with tomatoes. And no peppers and a lot of onions.
Okay. Well, let's talk with a couple more folks here. We got about 15 minutes left in this part of the show. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. The clock on the wall.
Oh, The old clock on the wall.
You gotta go by the clock. The next caller is in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to go back a minute to your talk about the poison that is in the beans.
Yes.
Yes.
Time Life in 1982 put out a book about beans, and in that it says that beans, lentils, and peas, fresh or dried, must be boiled before they could are eaten because they contain toxins called lectins, L-E-C-T-I-N-S. So beans are high in those. That's your bad actor there. You have to. It says boiling destroys it, and no other temperature will.
Hmm.
Okay. So there again, maybe that's the problem with the slow cooker.
With the slow cooker, it doesn't get to a boil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, all right. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's so. Again,
well, it tells us exactly the reason.
If you're buying canned beans, that's fine. No problem.
They're already cooked.
This is if you're going to start with dried beans. You just make sure you want to soak them really well. Generally, I think most recipes say You know, so put them in a big pot of water, put them on the stove, and just let them sit there and soak and with no heat. Just let them soak overnight. And then before you cook it, if you can, let them soak some more. Change the water a couple
times.
Change
the water a couple times.
No matter what you do, that water you've soaked it in, get rid of that water. And just make sure that they're really well cooked, and then you'll just be fine. Because beans are a good thing. You know, we don't want to discourage people from having beans. Although, I don't know, you can't eat beans.
I can't
now.
Eat
You're
beans.
Not eating beans.
No,
now.
I can't because they've got, well, there's the starch in the beans raises my blood sugar, and the purines in the beans work on the gout.
Yeah, well, okay.
So
you can't
have I can let that
But
go.
Beans are they're a great source of protein.
Of protein, and fiber.
And fiber. And, of course, they don't have fat, so it's a way of getting protein without fat.
It really
fat.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, well, okay. If you don't have a problem with beans, you can do that. Let's talk next with somebody in Champagne. This would be line two. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. This is another kind of history and ingredient comment that my mom grew up in Sangamon County, and she was born in 1918.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you know it, but a lot of the commercial popular brands of chili were actually started in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, yes, they were.
Yes, Ray's. And Chili Man.
And Chili Man, yes.
Right. Well, my mom grew up in that tradition, and looked this morning for her recipe for chili, could not find it, but I do distinctly remember it was kind of a brick like your mom's.
Yeah.
And she started with about 2 to 3 pounds of beef.
Yes.
And then the recipe called for a half a pound of ground suet.
Of suet, yes.
Yes, and in the chili parlors of Springfield in the 50s, your chili came with a slick of about a quarter to a half an inch of fat on it.
Oh boy, was it good! And you could soak it up it wasn't just the yuck fat. It was really an elixir.
it was wonderful.
Oh and, yes.
Fortunately, they don't put it that way in the can.
Nope,
when
they
I
don't.
Make it, I now use ground sirloin and olive oil, but it certainly was a wonderful recipe.
That is really good. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Heart Association is on the line here. They want to have a word with us about that.
I'm sure.
I'd say that what the caller suggests is really good. I mean, if you'd like to, you can use a lean meat, but if you'd like to have both a little flavor and a sort of a mouthfeel of that, well, I'd say putting a little olive oil in there probably would do the trick.
But suet is well, it's very rare anymore. You have to more than ask for it. But I do remember. Well, as I say, that's what I was trying to do in England. Give me some suet.
Right, yeah.
Give
me
some fat to put into this. It won't work if you don't.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't do that.
Ugh, you Yanks.
So
yep. Let's go on to
suet.
Champagne in line one. Hello. Is there a caller there on line one in Champagne? Well, perhaps not. Yes. Line one in Champagne. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I really appreciate your guest, especially since I'm from Texas.
Oh, good.
And I fear to start a riot, but since being in Illinois, I've yet to eat what I consider real chili.
Well, I agree with you. Now, however, you're just too late. Way back, well, because way back it would have been the early 60s, there was a chili parlor here in town called Conlon's Chili. And Conlon's Chili gave you exactly what it is you wanted. And what made me laugh was that when I finally talked to the fellow, it was the son, and he said, oh, well, this is my dad's recipe. I said, well, but this is exactly the way it's supposed to taste. I said, where do you get the recipe? He said, San Antonio, Texas, 1919.
Yeah.
And I said, and I always swore that he was standing right next to my mother when they gave out that recipe. And that is the only taste I've ever had in town that is perfect. But you're right.
Well, tell us what it is what is chili? What makes it the way that it's supposed to be?
It's very thick. It's not soupy. It's not saucy. It's, and you know, no kidney beans. We're talking pintos.
Yes, pintos.
And, of course, the different seasonings. I mean, of course, like you say, the common element is always either chili powder or chilies. But it's not at all watery. Mm. And I know what you're talking about with the bricks, because when my parents would make chili, that's what they would do.
Right, that's the old way.
They would cook it down to bricks and freeze. I mean, my parents made, like, you know, enough for 3 or 4 months.
Oh, yes.
Mm. And, you know, they would put it in a loaf pan, like you say.
Yep.
And that was just perfect for the size of our family. You know, so they didn't have to fool with slicing it or anything. And Mother would add water.
And add water. That's all there was to it.
And there's, then add cooked pinto beans.
And cooked pinto beans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the way.
I wanted to tell you one further thing about the chili queens in San Antonio.
Yes.
They essentially were shut out for economic and growth reasons.
Yes, they were.
It was not that they became unpopular. It was, like you say, it was the restaurants, it was the city fathers, and a lot of people bemoaned their loss.
Oh, yeah, they just plain closed them down.
Yeah, they did. Well, thank you so much.
You bet. All right. That's good.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye. Someone said that they really would like to have the Cincinnati chili recipe. They were in the car and couldn't write it, and would it be on the website? And I think, actually, yes, we'll see if we can get that. We should be able to get it on the website.
Oh, yeah, and I'll Xerox this off, and they'll have it. Yeah. They'll have it on the website.
Which is will.illinois.edu. If you go there and go to Focus 580, we have a number of recipes from past shows. We have a volunteer who was good enough to come in and sit down and listen through to the show and transcribe recipes, so that we now have a number of recipes
and
on the website.
And as we speak, she's
and
out there
she
doing,
is
it,
right, doing it right.
She's now back
right
to 2002.
Now. All right. And also, somebody in Urbana wants to know where you get the Maxine chili powder. Or will you divulge this?
Well, no, I can. I'm trying to think where it was. I believe it was Jerry's IGA where I got the last.
Okay, and this is just a very old name.
It was one of the first commercial chili powders, and it comes in a tall bottle. Well, you know, it's a round tube bottle. Yeah, it's a round tube bottle, and it's Maxine chili powder.
Okay.
I think it was Jerry's IGA where I got it.
Call first, see if they've got it.
Well, no, go look.
All right, go over to Jerry's IGA. Let's talk with somebody else here. Champagne, line two. Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to share a couple of my twists on chili.
Yeah.
I don't know where I come up with it, but I've been doing it for, 30 years. And what I do is I use a pound each of sausage, Italian sausage, any kind of sausage.
Oh, yes.
And a pound of hamburger. A real good grade of that.
Uh-huh.
And onion, and I brown that all up, and then I add my 2 cans of Campbell's or tomato juice, large can.
Oh, yes,
and then
tomato
I put
juice
in a large can of chili beans, and usually I puree half of that. That kind of helps make it thicker.
Oh, all right, yes, it will.
So I like to thicken it. And then I started out, you know, just using a couple tablespoons of chili powder, and accidentally one time just dropped the jar in there. Since then, my family thinks if you're not sweating, you're not eating.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And also, the last thing I do before it goes in that crock pot is I put in a bag of that boil-in-the-bag rice to help thicken it.
Oh, yes.
And every once in a while, I even might add Italian seasoning, just a dab. But that's basically how I.
Well, that's because that'll have oregano and garlic in it.
Uh-huh.
And that's that. It, that is indeed one of the additives to chili.
Uh-huh.
Now,
I'd share that with you.
I just learned about Mexican oregano on my last trip to Wyoming. I was sort of stunned. I thought it was just like the Italian. Oh, it's not. It's very, 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 very strong and very, very wonderful. And I got to using it when I was out there on this last trip. I haven't found a source of it. I believe the first thing I would do is I'd go to the Mexican grocery store and see if they have it.
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely wonderful.
And
I'm anxious to get some.
Yeah. Well, if you got some family out there like I do, you'll have to.
Well, that's exactly what I do. I always get things shipped from them, but uh-huh. I thought I'd like to be a little more self.
Well, thank you. This is
yes.
a great show.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Mm-hmm. And 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers, and we'll be here for about another 3-4 minutes talking about chili. Is with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore.
Chili head.
Yeah. And I think we're getting another. Yes, we have another caller here.
One.
Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a feeling that I don't know if anybody else has called in because I've been kind of in and out, that the red bean has come to the forefront because the new Dick Francis book features poisoning by red bean.
I see.
Oh, really?
So I think that I had never heard of it before.
Well, I had never heard of it either.
Yeah,
I suppose I have made things with dried beans and doing the overnight soak and cook them so that they're pretty much.
And no skull and crossbones on the bag.
I guess now you just never know. Got to watch out for everything.
Well, I know. The other thing is that Mexican oregano can be had from Penzies.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, I just put some in some lasagna I made today. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. It is wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
It's strong and rich.
Yes, yes, it is. It is great. But I do know that they have it, and they're easy to mail order from and off the web.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Penzies herbs.
Now I'm going to have to check this out myself. I guess I have been for years and years buying bulk herbs and spices at Strawberry Fields I'm not sure what kind of oregano it is.
That's an Italian
that's
oregano.
That's an Italian oregano.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I guess that's what I remember seeing a Rick Bayless show talking about the difference between the two, and he said something like, if you get your oregano and it smells like a pizza parlor, he says that's not what you want.
That's Italian.
It's somehow different. All right.
Very pungent.
Let us go to, we have several people here in Urbana. Next is line number two. In Urbana. Hello. The caller there? Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm calling on a cell phone, but I just wanted to say that I have purchased Mexican oregano at Jerry's IGA.
Oh, at Jerry's.
And they have a new line, or maybe newish line. They're cellophane bags with the cardboard fold over on top.
Yes.
And they have really good Mexican oregano at Jerry's IGA in town.
And does it specifically say on there?
Is this the one around Round Barn?
I don't recall if it was the Kirby store or the Round Barn, but it does say Mexican oregano because I was looking to make some kind of Italian dish, and I was with my daughter, and it has a lot more of like the little sticks and whatever.
Yes.
But here, Mom, you can get this, but it's really, really quite delicious.
It is delicious. I'm glad to know that. Good. Thank you.
Nice to be able to get it in town from a local.
Yes, it is.
So, great.
Thanks
well,
for your
thank
show.
You very much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk with another Urbana caller. This is line number three. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you, Doyle, if you would put your vegetarian chili recipe on the website. You probably don't have time to give it on air.
Well, I can tell it to you real fast.
Oh, okay.
And since it was one that I just threw into the slow cooker, because I'm working with it's vegetarian. Okay, potatoes of all things,
okay.
Chopped up potatoes. Celery, onions, and carrots, and all those four vegetables. Then a can of hominy, and then I dared to have garbanzo beans.
Uh-huh.
And all those went in. And what else then? Oh, crushed tomatoes, and I don't think I put in a pep. Oh yes, and then a can of green chilies.
Okay.
A can of green chilies, and then there was one other thing. Let's think what it was.
Did you actually use a curry? I wonder when you said it
was
like an Indian curry.
No, I didn't. I used ground chili,
uh-huh.
my favorite from Shimayo.
Right.
And that and cumin.
Mm-hmm.
And garlic and onions. Yeah, that's what.
Great.
The recipe is take so you have.
Right.
Put it in. But the potatoes did not really cook down as much as I thought they would,
uh-huh.
But they tasted very good. And all of these other flavors melded together, and it really was rather delicious. I was a little bit surprised.
Wonderful.
And it was not only was it good hot, but it was good cold, which surprised me, because I don't generally like to eat cold chili, but this was very good. But I did think that it was very, very much like a curry. So,
okay, well, thanks a lot.
All sure, right, that was just you. The stuff that went in it.
Well, we're about at the point here where we're going to have to wrap things up. And let me tell you one more time, the recipe for the crockpot recipes.
Oh, yes.
The address, because we're still looking for recipes. C is for crockpot, WILL-TV, 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, 61801. If you can, try to get that in the mail as soon as you can, and then we'll put together this cookbook, and then in December, December 3rd, I believe, first Monday
right.
in December, we're going to do this show live, WILL-TV, and you'll see me and Doyle and some other people cooking in front of the camera.
You don't have to pay any attention to that.
I'm kind of scared about it, but I guess we'll see. And then, of course, next month, first Wednesday, Doyle will be here, and we will do this again.
What, next month's coming already,
yeah,
isn't
I
it?
Know. It is.
That's it.
All right.
Well,
first Wednesday, we do the show with May. We'll have to call our chef in residence. What we'll talk about, I don't know. In the meantime, you can get the recipes at the website. Go to will.illinois.edu, and we'll have those for you. Focus 580, the show made possible in part by a grant from Bodywork Associates this year, celebrating their 25th anniversary of offering licensed massage therapy to Champaign-Urbana. Bodywork has now an office inside the Oasis Center in the Illini Union. We're going to break. When we return, we'll be talking with a man who is known as probably the world's top expert on contemporary slavery, and it does still exist in the world today. His name is Kevin Bales. We'll talk about his new book, Ending Slavery, How We Free Today's Slaves. First, though, we'll break for an update on the markets and news. And stay tuned.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. We're at midday. Soybean futures at the Chicago Board of Trade are lower, with the market continuing to be volatile as investors are a little bit nervous about the continued strength in commodities. Soybeans rallied to a three-year top earlier today, then turned lower when crude oil turned lower. That after the U.S. government data on the opening bell at the Board of Trade showed crude stocks falling less than traders anticipated. Commercial U.S. crude stocks dropped about 800,000 barrels to 311.9 million for the week ending November 2nd. And the energy, and that according to the Energy Information Administration, analysts polled by the trade suggested that the drop was going to be around 900,000 barrels, so they missed it by about 100,000 barrels of oil. Let's go ahead and look at some particulars as they are shaking out now.